DJ PK1.
Oh my, yo.
What's up, y'all? I'm back. The last interview of the month. Well, I think it's the last, but this is the third interview that I have done. And let me tell y'all, I've just been, y'all's responses, y'all's comments, the subscriptions, the new reviews that we have on. I'm just so grateful for you all. Thank God for leading us in this new direction on the In Pursuit podcast. Y'all, this next interview, it's really something. It's really deep. It's very just, y'all gotta listen to it. I can't even explain it. Please just listen to it, y'all. This woman, Ebony Shanae Evans, if you do not know who she is, y'all missing out. This woman is just a phenomenal woman of God. She is so devoted to carrying out the message that God gives her each and every week on her YouTube channel. She's an author. She's an entrepreneur. She's working for God's kingdom. Let's just say that. Phenomenal, phenomenal woman. I'm so glad and happy that she decided to come on the In Pursuit podcast and talk to you all. But first, I said I wasn't going to warn y'all anymore, but I kind of feel like I need to. If you need a minute after this podcast episode, if you need a minute to just, you know, come to, that's okay. Yeah, when I tell y'all, y'all going to be throwing your wigs at the TV screen. You're going to be trying to sleek your edges down with some glue. Like some real glue, some gorilla glue at this point. Snatch them down, y'all. Snatch them down so they don't come off during this interview. I already know I'm going to have some stories to tell after this episode. So y'all just stay tuned. Tune in. This is such a great interview. I'm so glad that we're ending the month of June off with this amazing interview. Make sure you all subscribe. Make sure you share. Make sure you comment on the Instagram page. I do have an Instagram page for In Pursuit Podcast. So make sure you go on Instagram and find us over there. As well as leave me a rating, y'all. Let the people know how much y'all are loving these interviews. How much you're loving the In Pursuit Podcast, y'all. So many amazing, wonderful things to come. And yeah, let's get into it.
For the people who may not know who you are, tell the people who you are, what you do.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Ebony Shanae Evans, and I am a person who loves and adores God with everything in me. I preach the word of God. I teach the word of God. I'm yielded to the word of God. I love the word of God. So I'm just a mouthpiece for God. And I definitely look at myself now as a mouthpiece for this generation to glorify Jesus and to point everything back to him. So that's the gist of it, I guess.
Girl, I kind of, I hyped you up in my little intro. Woman, yeah, y'all about to throw your wigs at the television screen, because your videos on YouTube are just, girl, look, that's how I found out about you. But on this this podcast, we have a segment called False or Facts. So I want you to go ahead and let me know if it's a false or fact. Okay, first one. You are living the life you thought you were going to live.
False.
Okay, next one. You are a woman of little faith.
False, girl.
Big false. Okay, now last one. You are on fire for God.
We not even gonna say fact. We just gonna say truth because facts change, okay? And truth lasts forever. So truth, okay?
First question, we're gonna get into a little bit of, yes, your personal life, per se. First question, who was Ebony Shanae before Christ?
Oh, girl. I'm a fighter now in the spirit, but baby, I used to throw them hands. All my life, my first fight was when I was in the second grade, and I fought a boy. And so ever since then, I've always used my hands. Matter of fact, if we can be quite honest, quite early, you know, because of my fighting, I was never an agitator or anything like that, but I never backed down. So if somebody came to me with some mess and like started mess with me, and they like, I just said, you can do whatever, but the minute you put your hands on me, it's going down. And so that got me into so much trouble from youth all the way up, even through college. And it was that one-on-one moment I had with God where I was like, I had the question, why me? Why am I always getting in trouble? I got kicked out of schools. I got expelled from my high school, and I had to go to a different school in a different county. And I'm not ashamed of that because all of that pointed me to Christ, because I had the question, why me? And it took for God to tell me one day, because I chose you. Mm. I chose you to go through it. I chose you to endure this. I chose you to be on this path because I have greater for you. And so I was a fighter. And so even though I do believe that that's inherently me, God took that fighting Ebony to now fight the real enemy. Because a lot of times we fight people when in reality, people are not the enemy. Yes, the devil uses people. He does. But we got to understand that we do not fight in the flesh. As children of God, we have to war in the spirit. And so he took that mentality and now he's transforming it into me understanding who the real enemy is and how I have to fight. And so that's very crucial to my testimony. So a lot of people don't know that about me. Yeah.
So aside from being a fighter or just dealing with anger, what other demons in your life before Christ did you find yourself fighting with?
Oh, that's a good question. Wow. That is good, girl. You got me
I told you we get deep over here.
Girl, well, let me say, because I always try my best to be 100% honest. Me personally, I didn't struggle with insecurity. You know, I wasn't like crying out for attention. I grew up where I was exposed to a lot that I wasn't supposed to be exposed to. And so me being a child and me witnessing one thing, but then me understanding that there is a God, I struggled with that. But I just want to be honest, it brought me closer to Christ because I think it birthed me. Oh, you know what? It birthed me always having to defend myself. And that's something, that's a barrier that to this day, I have to allow God to break it every day, to break it down at some dimension, dig it a little deeper, because it comes up in marriage, in my marriage, it comes up big time where God continuously reveals to me that that's something that happened from childhood that I have to continue to yield to him. Because nobody ever had my back, I learned to have my own back, and I learned to be my own voice. So I didn't need you to have my back. I just know you wasn't going to take advantage of me. And if you thought you was, you had another thing coming. But in Christ, that's something where you got to let God be God. Because he said, I'm your champion defender. I fight your battles. This is my battle. You got to yield. But if you're so used to defending yourself and you're so used to protecting yourself, then you're taking away God's rightful place in your life. And so I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a demon that I'm fighting, but it's definitely a struggle, because that's something that I built up from childhood, and now it's something that the Holy Spirit is breaking down, you know?
I can relate about that anger. I know it was like to the point for me where I was getting expelled, getting in trouble, almost going to jail because of a wrath. Like, it was a wrath. It wasn't even anger. It was just like, oh, you hurt
up over time, and then you just pop. Yeah.
It was, but you mentioned that he had to strip you of that. What point in your life did he really do that? I know you're saying that he's still doing it, but what point in your life, like, was there a situation that happened, or was there, like, did you hear God's voice, or like, what exactly happened when he said, you need to get rid of this right now?
Girl, that is such a great question, because it happened at the end of December, beginning of January of this year. Yes, God revealed to me that I've been in a battle for 5 years, and he revealed to me that this particular battle I've been losing for 5 years straight. And God gave me a dream, and I'm not going to get very vivid in a dream, but he was very vivid with me, and he showed me in both hands life or death. And in the hand of life, it represented choosing to fight in the spirit, and then in the hand of death was choosing to continue to fight in the flesh. And God told me clearly, if you do not submit and surrender this battle to me, you are going to die. Like, talking about my flesh is going to take over. And so January was when that I had the dream, and it changed everything, because in that moment, God gave me spiritual eyes to see what I was truly battling for 5 years. He literally, I am not joking, he took me out of the element of the surface of what we can see, and he took me into the spiritual realm and showed me that this is why you can't fight it in the flesh, Ebony, because you are not fighting people. You are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. I've called you. And so it was just an eye-opener to me. And God also showed me, you know, that what the enemy is after. And it was such a clear picture. And I was so convicted. And it was a conviction of love, though. It was like, this battle is already won. All you have to do is surrender. And so surrender has been the theme for me this year. And let me just say this. A lot of Christians believe that you surrender one time to God when you give your life to him, but they fail to realize that every day we are supposed to be surrendering something to the Lord for breakthrough, you know? And so if I can be honest, it has been end of last year, beginning of this year, where God has really awakened me in that sense of truly learning how to allow him to fight my battles.
Girl, I think the times that we're living in now, people of God really need to understand that. I know for me, I was dealing with that. I was like, oh man, there's so much going on. I can't bear this pain and these thoughts and things like that. But that scripture brought me back. It was like, we're not fighting flesh and blood. we fighting spirits and principalities and things like that. So I'm glad you said that. Like, that can be applied to any type of situation that you're going to going through. So next question. Describe the season of your life that made you surrender your will to God.
The season of my life that made me surrender my will to God. Okay. That's good. Okay, I can be honest. I put in my head when I was going to get married, when I was going to have kids. And it was right around the time frame that I surrendered. I realized that I am not like everyone else. I realized that God has chosen me to proclaim his kingdom. And let me tell you, girl, I was 24 years old. Now, I've been dealing with God. My first encounter personally with God that I can remember was at the age of 7 years old. And from that point all the way up to 24, I just knew God for myself. And so he stopped me from doing a lot of things that was being done around me. It was like this, he was always with me.
So
at the age of 24, that's when I just had this, that year, I remember it was like yesterday, I was yearning for the Holy Ghost. Like, I wanted to speak in tongues so bad. I just yearned for everything of Jesus, because all I could see was how he was always there with me when nobody else was. And so this love just started to transform me to the point where I had to surrender. And I realized that there is no greater joy than to live my life for Christ. And so at the age of 24, that's when I told God that I'm ready to fully give myself to you. I'm ready to fully live for you. And girl, out of nowhere, in that time frame of 5-6 months, that's when I met my husband. But at the time, I'm like, who this is? This must be the devil trying to send somebody. He know I'm on fire for Christ. I'm trying to go hard. And out of nowhere, Chris came. And so I remember having a conversation with God. And I'm like, God, you need to show me what's this about, because you know it's nothing for me to break this off, honey. It's nothing for me to not entertain this. And I prayed for it for 2 months straight. God was silent. I did not hear nothing. At the end of that 2 months, I hear God tell me to open up my Bible. And I just start flipping. And I came to a verse in Proverbs. Because my question to God was, why is he here? Why is he here? Why is he here? And I came across a scripture where it said, he who findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. And he obtains favor from the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit said, he's here because I sent him to you. That is your husband. And so that took me, if I can be honest, that took me almost 7 months to surrender what I built up in my mind, when I was going to get married, how I was going to get married. I had to surrender that. And that was like a 7-month process of just accepting that this is who God has for me. And even though it's not my time, and God's timing is so much better. And so that was something that I really had to surrender to God, that I'm so grateful that I did. Okay.
So looking at your life, where you are right now, your career, what would you say, like, where would you be if you didn't give up your will to God?
Oh girl, I would be in a world of trouble. Because here's the thing. Yes, his grace is sufficient. We know that. But he's such a good God, and he is so dedicated to your soul that he will present an option to you and say, if you take this, a lot of that extra stuff you will not have to suffer through. Because this is the reality. We are meant to suffer as believers because Christ suffered for us, right? But a lot of us choose what we want to choose, do what we want to do, and now we create extra suffering that we weren't even meant to go through. And so had I not been yielded And had I not surrendered to God, I do not believe I will be living a life that is fulfilling God's glory. I do not believe I will be living a life of joy. Because here's the difference. Because I'm yielded to his will, I can go through something, but my future is assured because mm-hmm. I'm faithful to God. That's the foundation of my life now versus me not being surrendered and me just counting on his grace when I'm not even where I'm supposed to be in his will because I haven't surrendered. So people got to understand, you saying yes to God is so much bigger than what you can see, what you can fathom. Everything works out. And that's when the Bible says we will go from glory to glory. And that is true. That is so true. I have watched me struggle financially, spiritually. I have watched me suffer mentally, but because I'm yielded, because I say yes to God, because I want him above everything else, I just see over the course of months, years, days, weeks, where he's just constantly carrying me. And to me, that's so much better. Girl, I'm a crybaby because I feel like I'm getting emotional right now. But to me, that's so much better than what I could ever do for myself because he's God. Mm-hmm. He meant to carry us. And so when you got that revelation, you understand nothing is worth missing out on God's will. And I'll just end this question with the scripture where it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But the crazy thing about that scripture is the scripture after that say, but the people who dwell in him and the people who have his spirit, dude, they have a glimpse because they understand who our God is. And so, girl, I could talk about Jesus all day. And be a top child.
So, the last question in regards to, I guess, your personal life or whatever, then we're going to get into some entrepreneurship. So, what person in the Bible can you relate to most in your life right now?
Oh, girl, that's good, girl. Definitely Peter, because it brings me back to when Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times before the rooster crow. And, you know, Peter was so in love with Jesus and was like, no, I'm not. Like, I love you. I'll die for you. All of this. And, you know, Jesus knew and still told him, you know, but it's okay. Because when you get back up, I want you to go and strengthen your brethren, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that your faith fail you not. And so the reason why I relate to Peter is because in that moment, Peter failed God, I believe, but God, Jesus knew this was going to happen and still sent him out and still was like, when you get back up, I want you to go proclaim this. I want you to go strengthen your brother. And so I relate to that so much because this last couple of years, I have fallen flat on my face. I have blatantly found myself where I deliberately chose what I wanted to do over what God was telling me to do. And each and every time he was like, when you get back up, I want you to go strengthen your brother. And so I relate to Peter in that because even though I didn't deny him in a sense where I was like, I don't know you. I denied, you know, when we deliberately do what our flesh wants to do, we are denying Jesus. Yeah. We're denying him because we're not yielding our spirit to his spirit, you know? And so that's where I can relate to him the most because I know Peter felt like a failure in that moment. And even the Bible talked about how he wept because he knew what he did. But look at the life he lived after that, you know? So I can relate to a lot of failures and God picking me back up and me being more strengthened than what I was before that. And so, yeah, I can just look for this season in my life.
I think that's a good segue into entrepreneurship, because that verse, your experience, it's kind of saying, or it is saying, that falling is inevitable. You're going to fall. God knows that you're not going to be perfect at what he's calling you to do. So when you do fall, and when you do choose your flesh over me, I'm still going to be there to pick you up. But only this time you're going to have more faith, more strength, more insight, more wisdom.
There you go, girl. Yes. No, that's exactly what I was trying to say. You come back up different than how you fell. Mm-hmm. And that's what the grace of God does. Mm-hmm. It makes you want to choose better. You know?
It's beautiful. Turn away. And I just want people to know, like, that's listening to this, because everybody thinks that entrepreneurship, well, really, entrepreneurship is hard itself, but faith-based entrepreneurship, that's totally different. And I want people that's listening to understand, like, you're going to fail. We're being guided by God. The instructions are given to us through God when he gives us the instructions.
Yeah.
It's not on our time. So I really want people to understand that, like, you know. Yeah. So the next question, describe the season of your life when you decided to surrender your career to God. And what did that process look like?
Well, that's really good. I got to be honest, because, you know, I went to college, shout out to TSU, Tennessee State. And I went there. I never really had a plan. I wasn't the smartest apple in the classroom. I never was that type of person, but I never had a plan. I just knew that I had to go to school to do something, because I couldn't stay at my mama's house. I couldn't stay at my daddy's house. I knew that I had to do better. And so I fell into communications. But I never knew, and I never had a plan. I just always knew that I wanted to be more than what I grew up in. And what I saw my parents do, I just knew I wanted to be more. And so the more that I started to fall in love with Christ, ministry started to happen, you know. And I remember when I started my YouTube channel, because God told me to start it. And, you know, I was even struggling with that, because I remember that conversation so vividly, and God telling me to start. And I'm like, what in the world am I going to say? And God said, I just want you to share your testimonies. And so I've been sharing my testimonies on YouTube since 2015. From that simple obedience of just doing what God told me to do, opened up door after door after door, to the point where I'm doing this interview with you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I will say to Christian women who's doing entrepreneurship, a lot of times you cannot figure your way out through things. There are things where you're just going to have to trust God. Our purpose is to bring glory to God some type of way. God will reveal to you in time how he wants you to do that, when he wants you to do that, and what he wants you to use to do that, you know? And so a lot of people, if God gave you a dream and a vision, that's great. But you need to go to him to get instruction for that dream and vision. You need to go to him to get guidance in that dream, from that dream and that vision, because a lot of times we take stuff and we run with it when God was like, yeah, I gave you this dream, but it's some stuff I want you to go through for about a year before I let you launch it, you know? So a lot of times in entrepreneurship, especially Christian entrepreneurship, you just got to be obedient, because obedience is what's going to open the door to what God has for you. I didn't go into YouTube trying to get money. I went into YouTube just saying yes to God. And God started making a way to where now that's income for me, you know? But I didn't know that yes was going to produce all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's how beautiful our Father is. If you're bringing glory to God, he's going to show you, like, look, this is who you are, and this is what I want you to do. And we can't put him in a box. You know, you can paint, you can sing, you can create candles for the glory of God. Whatever it is, it's going to be something that has been embedded in you, something that is burning like fire in you. And I think more so than anything, our goal as Christian entrepreneurs should always be, God, I want to make you smile. When we have that type of mindset and intention and motive, what you worried about a plan for? You set for life, because your goal is to bring glory and honor to your Savior. And I'm living off of that blueprint, and I am amazed at what God has opened and what God has told me to do just from that alone. I'm now writing my second book. Do you think when I was in college that I ever saw myself being an author? No, I didn't have the desire, but the Bible says that He will give you the desires of your heart, which means He will teach you what to desire. And this was holy, was righteous, what will bring honor to His name. And that's just, all I want to say to entrepreneurs is, your yes is what's going to break through in your life. Just focus on your yes for God. Stop trying to figure it all out.
Girl, that's so good. I hope they listening, because that is so true. Now, the question within itself, God, why did you choose YouTube? Why did you choose media? Why did you choose this outlet? How important is visibility for women of God in the media space?
In the media space. It's very important because, you know, if what we're living in now, COVID-19, if this ain't waking you up, then I'm sorry for you, because we are living in some dangerous times right now. And nobody, even the generation before us and the generation before that, ever seen anything like this. And so God will call you to a space that He needs you to occupy, because we are kingdom citizens. That means that everything we do, how we move, and what we do should reflect the kingdom of God. Because at the end of the day, we can look cute, we can do all of this other stuff, but Jesus coming back. And there are so many souls that God has assigned to you. And so the media is very important, but I say it's not about being relevant. It's about revelation. How do you get revelation? Staying at the feet of the Father. He will tell you what to do, and then He will give you the boldness to do it. And so when it comes to media, I didn't see me ever being on YouTube, but that's what God called me to do. So I'm going to do it. And I'm going to say what He needs me to say. That don't mean that I don't get nervous about things. It means that the more I'm at His feet and I'm learning and I'm spending time with Him, it doesn't matter what you, John Doe, Susie Q, think about me, because I'm not here to please you. Paul said, wherefore am I here to please men or God? Because if I'm here to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So it's very important for Christian millennials to be in the media, but don't do it outside of God's will, because that's when you're treading dangerous territory. If I would have did a YouTube before God told me to do it, then I don't think I would be having this conversation with you right now. So it's all about staying at His feet and understanding that God's timing is not your timing. So you got to surrender to that. But I do believe if God gave you a voice to speak out, only speak what He gives you to speak, and only say what He wants you to say, because that's very important. There are people that are like literally dying every hour, and they do not know Christ. They do not know. So it's never about you. We are, like I said, we are kingdom citizens, and we have so much work to do in the body of Christ. So if God called you to media, don't run away from it. Like, be obedient in that, because it's gonna, obedience is not just for God, it's for you. God doing something in you, God transforming you, okay? Something that he's trying to break through in you. It's some type of wall that he's trying to tear down in you. You know, as saints, we are meant to be delivered daily. That's the power of God. So obedience is not just about who he called you to preach to or talk to or teach to. It's something that's happening in your spirit that is blessing your spirit, man, you know? It's like a tank that's being filled up. So, you know, being a Christian woman or man in media is very important. Yes.
Especially for the kingdom.
Yes.
What media looks like. And I had that, and I asked God this question too. I was like, why call women of God into the YouTube space where there's a lot of things going on YouTube? A lot of people can just upload anything. And I was like, well, why YouTube or why a podcast or why this? And I came across this book, The Seven Mountain Prophecy. Have you read that before?
Oh, good.
It's talking about, it's basically a prophecy about the Elijah Revolution. And it talks about how God is raising up his people, his evangelists, to go into the media space. He's talking influence that the devil has taken over. Media, government, education, entertainment, the arts, everything like that. And the family. And he's calling, like, I read in there that he said, like, the media space is for, like, evangelists, people to spread the good news. You know what I'm saying? So when I read that, I was like, well, it's not a coincidence that I'm on this podcast. It's not a coincidence that you're on YouTube. And that really answered that question. Like, God, why would you choose YouTube out of all of these people competing to be, you know, seen by people? So it kind of leads into my next question. You mentioned that you were in ministry, and you also mentioned that you are connected to souls. You have influence over some souls God, you know, gives to you. So how important is it to align yourself with Christ in the media industry? When you go on to film, when you put out a video, how important is it to align yourself with Christ, making sure that it's you and him before you go out and evangelize or go out and minister to different people?
Girl, that is a really good question. And that's something that I do not play with, nor do I take lightly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's scripture that, you know, I was just reading Ezekiel for this week. God been leading me to study on Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, God was telling him, like, look, I'm going to send you out and I'm going to fill your mouth. And as I fill your mouth, you're going to eat the scroll, and it's going to go down as sweet as honey, talking about the word of God. And God told Ezekiel, whatever I give you to say, say it. If you don't say it, the blood is on your hands. Because I told you to say it. I told you to warn them. Now, if they don't listen after you said it, that's on them. But if I'm giving you something to say and you don't say it, the blood is on your hands. So I look at it like this. I'm either going to run away from what God called me to do, or I'm either going to accept it and accept it with honor and with fear and trembling, with deep reverence for the Lord, because whatever he wants me to say is that important over how I may feel. So alignment is crucial, because if you know God has called you to do something, but you're not spending time in his presence, you're not spending time at his feet, I'm telling you, you tread in dangerous territory, and that's not what you want to do. You want to make sure you are constantly pouring yourself out so God can pour back into you. You want God to fill you up. You don't want to fill you up. If I fill Ebony up, I'm going to be filled with junk. I'm going to be filled with clapbacks. I'm going to be filled with pettiness. I'm not going to be filled with the word of God. But if I empty myself out and say, Lord, fill me up. I never to this day, I've been doing YouTube for almost 5 years. I never know what I'm going to say in the next video. It is always given by God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't even know how to convey a message and I will stop. The video is still recording. I'll edit it out. But I will stop and say, Lord, I need you to help me. Let the spirit take over. That is so important. And it's just like allowing God's spirit to make intercession with you. It is so much going on that we do not see, that we cannot see, that is beyond this realm. You got to be aligned with God's spirit. If you not and you preaching, I fear for you. I fear for you.
Good. When I tell you like that, that's crucial. Faith-based entrepreneurship, that's crucial. Yeah. You can't go before God's people any kind of way. In front of them, you can, if you want to choose to be yourself and you want to choose to not die to yourself and who God is calling you to be, you can go to the other industries. But when you come over here, look.
And I'm going to tell you something really quick. Derek, the great late Derek Prince said, he said, The very power of God is in a broken spirit. Mm. That means having a broken, contrite spirit. Like you are yielded. You just want God to be filled in you. You don't want nothing else. That is the very power of God. And if you even look at the representation of cross to the world, that don't make sense. Why would God, first of all, they say, God don't even have a son. And then why would he let him die on the cross? That don't make sense to a natural carnal mind. But to believers, it is the very power of God. Jesus Christ being lifted, giving his life willingly for the sake of the world so that we can be saved through grace. That's the very power of God. So if I don't take that same mindset when God tells me to go out and preach, then what am I doing? I have to come before these people broken because I've been battling. God been dealing with me. This is some serious stuff. Souls are on the line, not lives, souls. Because everybody gonna die. But it's about where you going after you die.
Exactly.
And so that's, I don't take that lightly, man. God is real. And he has extended so much grace to us. And so I say back to the media question, God has called every believer to occupy some type of space on this earth. Whether it's media, whether it's locally, wherever it is, he has called you. As being born again, he has called you to occupy some type of space. Don't ever take that lightly, ever.
So going into that or taking what you just said, it's a lifestyle. It's not just in entrepreneurship. Having that mindset is a lifestyle. So when you decided to really just make God the center of your life, the center of your business, were there friends along the way that you had to let go? Were there relationships along the way that you had to let go?
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. That's the world, you know. I started noticing a drift between me and a lot of my friends when I truly gave my life to Christ. Because in college, we was partying, you know, smoking, drinking, turning up, everything, you know. And at the end of that journey, at the end of that year, right before I graduated, God was tugging me to the point where I didn't know what was happening. I just knew God was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. And so at the age of 24, when I finally gave that yes to God, I still was friends with a lot of my friends, but slowly and surely, you just start to notice that, you know, if you're going to live for Christ, it's certain things, you're going to have to set boundaries. So my friends was still out doing what they was doing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't afford that because God was doing something new in me. So I had to start setting godly boundaries. So that went from, yeah, we can hang out, but I ain't going to the club. And mm-hmm. then that went from, okay, well, we're going to stop asking Ebony because she's just not going to go. And so eventually you just stop communicating and it happens. But the good thing about that is God will send you people to pour into you and to be a friend that season or the next season that will help you. And so it happens. And I would just say to people, if you are in a season where you're growing in Christ and God, you're going to have to leave some people behind. And sometimes you got to even leave family members behind, okay? Because toxic is toxic. And this thing, if you don't protect what God is doing in you, it can be ruined and it will be ruined. I've watched it happen. You know, think about the parable of the seeds. God talked about maybe five different seeds that fell on different types of ground. Hmm. All of those seeds end up dying except the seed that allowed for the word to be absorbed and they became the word. You get what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's just the same thing. Whatever God is doing in you, if you don't protect, water, nurture it, and mature it and spend time with it and nurse it, it is not going to grow. And just like growing flowers and stuff and fruit, they got to go and cut the weeds out. They got to go and cultivate the field. They got to go and prune that yard. Take out what's keeping it from growing. Take out what's keeping it from getting to its fullest potential. You listen, this is the word of God. You're going to have to set some godly boundaries if you want to grow. And I just was on the type, I was on the tip of, ain't nobody keeping me from my God. Whatever he got for me, I'm coming for everything that he has called me to do. When by the time I get to him in heaven, I have to hear, well done. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to run and hug on him and love on him because ain't nothing worth me missing out on Jesus in my life. Nothing. So if I have to cut some people off, then I gotta cut some people off. That don't mean we beefing. It just means God is calling me to such a divine level in my life. I can't afford to miss out.
And you said something. You said that God brings you friends. God brings people into your life. And that's not necessarily saying that you need friends. So I don't want people to think that, oh, well, I got to let these friends go. God just going to give me some friends. Like, those friends are going to be who help you get to the promise.
Exactly.
These aren't just going to be friends that you go out with or you have a drink with or you gossip with.
You are so right.
Mentality of friendship into who God sends you.
Yeah.
So I really want y'all to really understand that it's not about having friends. It's about the purpose of having those friends.
A lot of times when God is calling you to kind of let some people go, you're gonna spend a couple of seasons by yourself. You are isolated. Those friends will come afterwards, but it's gonna be a season where God wants you to sit down and get into your quiet space because he's gonna start revealing stuff about you.
So, like the stuff you don't want to deal with.
Girl.
Come on. What was the waiting season like? When you got a word from God, he promised you these things, when he told you to get on YouTube for the first time, when he told you to start ministering to people, what was that waiting season like?
Like just waiting on the Lord?
Waiting on the promise, waiting on things to start manifesting, waiting on things to start, waiting to see fruit.
Okay. I'm going to answer that in two separate scenarios, and I'm going to try to make it fast. The first scenario is when he told me to start YouTube, it was very slow, you know. But I had to often remind myself, why am I doing this? I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for the Lord. And because I knew I was doing it for the Lord, it brought me joy. And so even when there was times where I got discouraged, that joy from the Lord encouraged me. And so I don't get hung up on numbers and all of this stuff. I just I want to be consistent. The Bible says it points to the fact that you got to be consistent with little before God blesses you with big. So if God just told me to talk to 50 girls on my YouTube, say I just got 50 subscribers, right? Mm-hmm. And God told me, I want you to talk to them and give, I want you to say what I give you to say to them. And that's what I want you to be your focus. That's my job to do it. Why am I so hung up on what Susie Q doing and how many subscribers and how many followers she got? That means there's something going on with me. I need to surrender that to God, because that should not be my focus. My focus is simply doing what God told me to do this season. I didn't know I was going to be doing YouTube for five years later. I just simply said yes. And so it will always go back to your yes. And I think that's a way that helps you stay hold to the promise. Because if God sees you are being faithful, girl, he going to bless you beyond measure. And we just hit 30,000 subscribers. And that's a blessing. That means that every single person, God is reaching. God is doing something in their hearts. God is doing something in their life. But just imagine, had I would have quit because I only just saw the 50.
Mm-hmm.
So God will expand your territory when you are faithful with little. That one seed will produce 50 crops. Mm. That one seed will produce 100-fold. But if I'm not pruning and cultivating my field and staying consistent and staying at the feet of the Father, then I don't need to expect nothing in return.
Exactly. And it goes back to having a relationship with God. If he's the only one doing something in a relationship, it's not a relationship.
It's not a relationship. Because he's pouring into me. It's my job to pour it out to somebody else. Why should I expect blessings, miracles, signs, and wonders? That ain't fair to God.
Exactly. That's good. Good look. So that goes into my next question. You made, and this is so crazy. This is how I know. This is another miracle, sign, and wonder that I know God is real and he's faithful. So I put out a podcast called Complete the Mission, basically saying how when God tells you to do something, it entails a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts you on this battle to trust, to build trust with you. Right. He's telling you something, he's giving you instruction, but it's your job to complete the mission. Mm-hmm. And he gave me the story about David going into the battlefield. Every time David went into the battlefield, he would ask God, God, am I going to be successful? God, am I going to conquer? God, and getting instructions from God. And it's funny because when I put that episode out, I got on YouTube the next day and you were talking about mission.
Wow.
God, what you trying to say to your people? And you gave the analogy or the metaphor of a soldier being on a lighthouse.
Oh, que
carajo
shit
that
is, so girl, you
better come on. And you saying how you need to guard, or that soldier needs to guard their eyes, guard their ears, so that they can focus on the mission and focus on the tactics of the enemy.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what mission or missions does God currently have you on?
Yes. So I recently received the revelation, well, a revelation, just sitting at his feet. Something that I always knew, but it was never told to me like this. And I heard the voice of God so clear. And he just told me, he said, for the rest of your life, you will warn people of a war that they cannot see with natural eyes. And when I tell you, I stopped in my tracks because his voice was so clear. You know how we often question, was that God? I couldn't even deny it if I tried, because it shook my very core. And I just started crying. And the worship song I was listening to was about spiritual warfare. And the lady said, we place the blood on the door of our nations. And so this is my mission, and this is why this is so important to me, because we are in a battle, y'all. And the enemy is real. We often refer, when we talk about Satan, oh, he ain't nothing, or he can't do this, and we stomp on his head. But y'all, the enemy is so real, and he is moving some way, somehow, every single day. Even our lives as born again believers, we gotta understand that this whole, like, I don't know what's going on, but ministry is so glamorized nowadays. Like, I get so many messages from young women who, well, how did you know your purpose, or how do you know this, or how you know when you wanted to do this? And I just keep telling, I always have to point people back to the source. I didn't know any of this. I just simply fell in love with Jesus, and he has opened my eyes to so much. So that should be the foundation of everything. And so what God is showing me now, that it's some things that I have to surrender, because the last couple of years, if I can be honest, I've been in dealing with the spiritual warfare of the mind, the war inside. So there are three aspects of spiritual warfare. First is the worldly battle. Second is the, well, actually, first is the spiritual realm. I'm sorry. Can you see me? It's the spiritual battle. Then it's the worldly battle. Then it's the war within, right? So God has been pouring all of this knowledge and understanding in me, because for so long, for 5 years, I was missing the target. I was fighting everybody and they mama except the actual enemy. You get what I'm saying? And this is what God revealed to me in the dream that I mentioned earlier. He said, you are missing your target. So God started teaching me how to categorize my spiritual warfare, because it all relates. It all connects. And so now, because I spend this time with God, he is giving me strategies and tools to dismantle the enemy in such a way that my life is breaking open. The heavens are rattling in my life, because I am learning how to fight in the spirit. I'm not giving the devil no more room. No more room. And so that's my mission right now, tomorrow, and for the rest of my life. And so that mission will never change. And it's my job to warn people that they are in a spiritual battle. And that's never going to change. We're going to be in this battle till the day we die. And so my seasons might change, and different things of me doing things might change, but it will always be that foundation that God wants me to warn people. So if I'm the mouthpiece, what you think Satan trying to do to me? What you think Satan trying to do to my marriage? What you think Satan trying to do in my family? What you think Satan trying to do to me financially? What you think Satan trying to do to me on the job? He trying to take me out. Anytime you are a lighthouse for God, you better understand that the enemy is not playing with you. So don't ever get comfortable. Don't ever get lackadaisical. Don't ever get to the point where you are that confident. No, you need to stay on your toes. This is what Ephesians 6 is all about. Understanding that we have to put on the armor of God every single day. The Bible didn't say, oh, you're going to be born again and the armor of God is already in you. If you really read that, it tells you that that's something you have to put on, which means that's something that you have to make time for. You got to go out of your way and put this armor on. You got to do it. And so it, girl, God just been dealing with me in such a way. He been revealing to me the deep parts of me that are not pretty, are not beautiful, things that I have had to repent from. And I believe in daily repentance, because that's how you stay that's how you stay with a broken spirit before God, you know. And and God just been doing such a work in me that I'm just completely blown away. And I'm just like, Lord, like when I tell you, I am literally nothing without God. Mm-hmm. Please understand that is 1,000% true. Mm. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Mm-hmm. That is the only thing that makes me special. That is the only thing that makes me beautiful. Mm. And I'm talking inside and out. Mm. So this is my mission now. And I'm going to be honest with you. It has brought me to my knees. I have cried out to God. I have told God, I don't want to do this no more. Mm. Oh God, it's just not in me. I've had asked God, why did he allow this to be my situation? I done cried, I done wept. And he is still faithful.
girl, for real. And I wanted to speak something on spiritual warfare, and I want people to understand, whenever you're experiencing spiritual warfare, that means a new level is coming. Ooh. That means a new level of pressure, a new level of responsibility. Whenever the attacks you, yes, and you know you forgot, whenever attacks you, a new level is coming.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why it's important to stay on your toes.
Yep.
You can't listen to everything. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get you off track. You can't watch everything. Woo! It's gonna
get you off track.
Now look, about to get in a spirit. Hold on.
Yes, I feel you, Holy Ghost.
Girl, look, let me calm it down.
Yeah, let me calm it down just a little bit.
So, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want your opinion on this statement that I was reading, or I was watching a sermon. I was watching a sermon a couple nights ago, and this statement, it literally struck something in me. So the statement says, God does not hand out bouquets when it comes to the anointing. Mm. And I just want your opinion about that. Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, give me a little more context. Okay, it said God does not hand out bouquets when it comes to the anointing.
Mm-hmm. Like, in the sermon, he was talking about how everybody want to be anointing. Everybody wants this platform. Everybody want to be a preacher. Everybody wants this responsibility, but they aren't anointed to do these things. And people kind of get the calling and anointing mixed up.
Yeah, they do.
So yeah. I just know, like, I see you as being anointed. I see you being as, you know, a woman of faith, a woman that literally it, you know, on fire for God. So how do you feel about that mentality that people often get themselves in when it comes to this entrepreneurship?
You know what, that girl, you preaching, that's a good question, to the point where I had to leave the office space to come get something that God had me to write down the other day. And it's in the book of Revelations. Because like I said, remember we were talking about how nowadays ministry is so kind of like glamorized. Mm-hmm. Everybody, like you said, want the anointing. Everybody want to be slaying the devil and be looking good. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff. But it's a scripture. Oh, Lord, please help me find it. That I want to share that is so powerful. Okay, here it go. So it's Revelation 3:18.
And I'm going to respond to that quote that man said. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, I know that's a lot, because even when I read it, I'm like, what, Lord?
What?
Right, what you said, you know, but basically it's saying he alone, Jesus Christ, can only provide spiritual wealth. Mm-hmm. That's the wealth that will be eternal. That's the wealth that's never going to run out. It will never disappear. It will last forever. And so when you talk about anointing, people don't understand that anointing is not pretty. Anointing is not glamorous. Anointing means that you are going to be tried by the fire. And do you know what it means to be tried by fire? Do you know what it means to surrender your will to the Lord for all the days of your life? That is not pretty. You are in a constant war. Every single day, you are doing something that you have to surrender to God, where you're going to be crying out. You're going to be broken. You're going to... Listen, that's not a game. So when he said that that God does not hand out bouquets with anointing or something like that, it basically means that your anointing is going to cost you your whole life, your entire life. That's what I believe that he's saying. It's not something that's beautiful or this well-made, because this is the thing, if you really are anointed and you're living in that anointing, because you can be anointed, but you're not living in that anointing. Derek Prince once said, the more harm you do to the devil, the more he'll fight against you. So those who are anointed go through the most, because we are proclaimers of the gospel, which means that we have a direct target on our backs from Satan and his principalities and his dark rulers and wickedness in high places. So the anointing is beautiful, what it does to you in your life and how it breaks you for the glory of God. But be careful what you ask for, because I'm just gonna keep it real. Everybody ain't built for that, you know? And I'm just gonna keep it real. You gotta just know that God is for you, and you have to truly want God more than you want anything else. And that's what God been showing me these last couple of years. You have to want heaven and God so bad that forgiveness is nothing to you. You gotta, that's the point. Those should be our goals. That's what success should look like for believers. You know what I'm saying? That's anointing. That's walking and living in your anointing. And so that's not, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of surrendering and a lot of mirroring to get to that place. But God says you will go from glory to glory, you know? So I hope I elaborated a little, but that's what I believe he's saying. So real anointing is basically being tried by the fire, the Holy Ghost fire. You know, look at Job. Christians gotta stop feeling like when you become saved, everything is gonna be all good and dandy. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. You are meant to suffer. You are meant to go through something. It's gonna be righteous suffering, but you gonna go through something. That's how you be tried. That's how you are tried by the fire, because now you are building up endurance to keep walking that walk. You are building up endurance to keep running your race.
Girl, it's some deep stuff. And I think what he was really just trying to say was, everybody that's out here in the media acting like they're anointed or acting like they've been called by God isn't. Because it's not an easy job, and it's not something that you take lightly. Oh, okay, I'm anointed, but I'm ready for the warfare. I'm ready to be tried by the enemy. I'm ready for this. Let's go. God got me. No, it's not like that, because it'll hit you in all different places, and you wouldn't know what to do unless you are truly anointed in God. So being chosen by God literally means that he sets you apart from everybody else. How do you feel about the temporary isolation from the world that everyone is doing, like being separated from the world? Like, what is that isolation like?
Okay. Like just being chosen?
Like living in a world and not being of it.
Oh, girl, you already touching on the topic of my next video, girl. Look at these. But that is really good. Okay, so remember there's three aspects to spiritual warfare: the spiritual battle, the worldly battle, and the war within. And so the worldly battle hits on all of that. And I'm just going to look at a couple of my notes because it's so good. It's one scripture where it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, right? So we understand that we are called to live in the world, but not be a part of the world, right? So the forces that control the world that are in conflict with God, that the more you separate and the more you decide, you know what, God, I'm going to live for you and I'm going to allow you to transform my mind. When you wake up with that intention, then you will become transformed because that intention is going to turn into action. So being chosen is basically knowing this, that your name is registered in heaven, mm-hmm. and you know that that's your final destination, but God got you here right now. Mm-hmm. So if you know that, you got to live like it.
Mm.
And we ain't talking about clothes and modesty. I'm going beyond that. I'm talking about breaking down those mental and spiritual walls in your life and getting to a point where God assigns us to demonic territory to tear it down. That's what it's like to live in the world but not be like the world. You are a kingdom citizen. You have to live like it, right? And so when we think of the Bible says that the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, he rules this domain. Like that scripture, go to Ephesians 2:2. That is what the scripture is saying, that he rules this atmosphere of this part of the world. So if we understand that, then we got to get to a point where we are constantly pulling down heavenly power in our lives. We're constantly calling on the name of the Lord. We're constantly submitting to God's authority here on earth, you know? And what that looks like for me is just understanding that I can't react like y'all. I can't do what y'all do. I have to constantly let God transform my thinking from worldly perspective to heavenly perspective, just like what's going on with George Floyd. I gotta let God do something in my heart and in my mind, transform my thinking. So yes, I'm angry and I'm upset, and yes, all of this needs the dude who killed him needs to go to prison because that was murder and it was wicked and it was unrighteous and it was unjustified. But I, now that I'm saved, I also see, you know what? This world is wicked. It's damned anyway.
Right.
This is the way the world is. Let's try to help people to become saved so they can know that there is a way out.
Mm.
Whereas when heaven come, I want to see George Floyd in heaven in this new life. You know what I'm saying? Communion and living with God. And so that's heavenly perspective. If I was thinking in my worldly way, I would not think that way. But God gives me that perspective. And so you are chosen to be set apart. You are sacred. You are a royal priesthood. You are peculiar, which means that nothing about you is reflective of this world.
Mm.
And I'm gonna be honest, we not perfect, you mm-hmm. know? God understands that, but he's not asking for perfectness. He's mm-hmm. He's not asking for perfection. He's asking for obedience. He just wants you to be obedient to him.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. He's not asking for anything else, just your obedience.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole world right there. Girl, look, we can go on and on and on. Look, once we get started, I already know.
Let me mention this too, and I'm be done. You said when you're chosen, how we're not supposed to live like the world. We're not supposed to be a part of it. But check this out. Ephesians 2:6 says, because we are raised from the dead through Christ, he also seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus, which means that because we are now a part of his royal family, we have the authority and power to bring down heavenly power here on earth. So if God is, let me tell you something, and I'm gonna keep it real with you. God been teaching me a lot about like witchcraft and like, why does that scare? That's scary to people. Like, when people think of witchcraft, they think of like a witch brewing up some stuff, putting some bones in a bed, which that is a part of it, but it's a small snippet. Uh-huh. Witchcraft is so much deeper than just what the TV shows you. It's manipulation. A lot of people don't even realize that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And if you operating in manipulation, that is a form of witchcraft. You know, so this is what God said. God will call you to an area where he will say, I want you to demolish that. I want you to expose that. And it might not even be the way you think it is. He just wants you to learn on it, study on it. And you got to get into that closet and start praying and fasting. You don't even understand what you're doing in the heavenlies. You don't even understand how you dismembering the enemy in this region or in this particular area or this city or this whatever. You get what I'm saying? God is so strategic. When we spend time with him, he will start taking the veil off of everything. And you'll just be like, oh, Jesus, this is amazing.
Never knew that.
Right. And so the thing about it is, you're not of the world, but you are called to be a part of the world, but you are called to be a kingdom citizen. You got to live in such a way where your actions and your obedience is literally tearing down Satan's kingdom one way or another. Because if you ain't tearing it down, you building it up.
That's a word. That's a whole word.
It ain't no in between. It's either that or this. This or that.
Yes, indeed. Oh, my God. Girl, that's a whole word. Oh, my God. Girl, that's a whole revelation right there. But let me end the interview off with this last question. How close do you feel that you are to your blessings?
I feel that I live and breathe and I feel like blessings are a part of me now because God's spirit dwells in me. It's like, what do you consider a blessing? Because if you only look at materialistic things and money and financial things as blessings, then you're sadly mistaken. A blessing is just being able to wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. That's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So every day I'm blessed. I'm walking into blessings. I live in blessings. I pursue blessings. A lot of people think you're just supposed to wait. Yeah, but if you go in your closet and pray and spend time with God, or you in a living room or whatever, you decide to just commune with God, you are blessed. When fear tries to creep in at night, God will remind you of your praise unto him. But how can he remind you of your praise if you ain't spending time pursuing him? You know? So blessings, I believe as believers in Christ, we embody blessings. We live in blessings. We are covered and drenched in blessings. I'm drenched in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm beyond blessed. My life blessed. My everything that I am a part of, everything that's a part of me is blessed. Because his spirit dwells in me. So I think blessing is not just a seasonal thing. That is, you should, as a believer in Christ, that should be your daily mindset. You was funny, girl.
You need, I got, now see, at the beginning of this, in the intro, I told them they gonna be throwing their wigs at the television. They edges are gonna be snatched and about to get a whole word. I done spoke it into the existence. I knew it was gonna happen. So I honestly, I just wanna thank you for just interviewing with me. This podcast stuff is still new to me. I've been doing it since January, but
congratulations.
I'm really, you know, just getting into interviews and things like that, and God put it on my spirit to reach out to you. So I'm so grateful, and I'm so happy that you decided to come on the In Pursuit podcast. Where can people connect with you? Where can they find you on YouTube, your social media handles?
Okay, so I'm usually on Instagram a lot, so that's at Ebony Shanae, EBONYSHANA. And then YouTube, I try to drop 2 videos weekly. I try. Get the grace of the Lord to help me with that. But I'm pretty consistent, though. And so you definitely can follow me and subscribe to me on YouTube. And that channel is just Ebony Shanae or Ebony Evans. And my website is Ebony. Oh, girl, what's my website? Oh, EbonyEvans.com. It's kind of new, so you got to bear with me.
Yeah,
all things Ebony, from ministry to the YouTube video to booking. And I know this, you are based in Baton Rouge, right?
Mm-hmm. We down the street.
Girl, because we going to have to link up. Okay?
Down the street.
In the NOLA. So we're like 45 minutes away, okay? But I'm actually having a conference called The Sleepover Encounter. So, girl, I just want to, if you are led to come, come. Because there is getting ready. God revealed to me, I always get what he tells me to do, and when I'm spending time with him and I'm worshiping. And I just, it was like I was in a trance, and I just had a vision, and I just saw women crying out to God, like women that have been through so much, and they just at a breaking point where they just are ready to surrender. And I just saw God's spirit just pouring and covering us in such a way that it was like marked territory, like history in the making in your life is getting ready to happen. And so I believe that when we join together, God is going to do something amazing. God is going to pour something in us so unique and beautiful that he's setting us up. It's like a lineage that is being birthed in us as kingdom daughters, you know? And so the sleepover is August 14th through the 16th. It's a 2-day experience. And I'm telling you, Baton Rouge, y'all do not want to miss it. Come join us. The tickets are linked in my bio. It's on my website. And if you feel led to come, come, please.
The last time I went to a conference or a retreat, I started speaking in tongues. I'm coming, God. What you want to do?
And you know what it reminds me of? It always reminds me of the second chapter in Acts. When they were in the upper room and they were all with one accord, and that's what I saw, every woman in that place with one accord just crying out, and God bringing a fresh wind of glory, miracles, and blessings. And so that's why I'm excited, because it's like, God, I don't know what you're getting ready to do, but I ain't missing it for nothing. I trust you, and I am ready for your spirit. I'm ready for whatever it is. And so I'm excited. And that's it.
I'm excited. my ticket today.
But we gonna have to link up before then, girl. You are not far at all.
Oh, we definitely have to. It has to happen now.
Yes.
So this has been another episode of the In Pursuit podcast. Make sure you guys check out Ebony, check out her YouTube support. And yeah, I told y'all this was gonna happen.